You're on RTR FM 92.1 Sound Alternative with Pam. I'm taking you through On the Record today. And right now, it's time for the Language Lab. Today on the Language Lab, we're going to chat to Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, our Language Lab expert from the University of WA, to learn more about human language and how it differs from animal communication. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, Pam. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thanks.
So, we're talking about communication between animals and humans. How humans maybe have language and how can we define that? What's the difference between defining communication and language? How do we separate those two?
Yeah, great question. And I wanted to just very quickly acknowledge the wonderful help of our UWA intern, Billy Pittman, who did an amazing job producing today's segment. So thank you, Billy.
Big thanks to Billy.
Yeah, thank you, Billy. So this is such a good question. A lot of the time when you ask people to define language, they will use the word communication as a synonym for language. And yes, in a way, language is about communication. But there are so many ways to communicate a message which simply go beyond what we define as language. So let's have a look at this. So communication is about transmitting a message from one party to another. And this transmission can be through speech, as in spoken languages, or signs, as we do in signed languages. But it can also, and a lot of the times does include other elements. We can communicate through gesture. We can communicate through the clothes we wear. We can communicate through scents. We can communicate through body language and movement, even dancing. And we'll talk about bees and how they dance to actually communicate where their food source is located. So language, on the other hand, is a system. And this is a really important word when it comes to language. Language is a system by which humans communicate. It is a very complex system made up of tons of abstraction and tons of convention. So the only way that we are able to understand what other people are saying and what we ourselves are thinking, in case our thinking is like packaged linguistically, is because we've come to this agreement that we all kind of understand something to mean something else. And so human language really allows us to do just so much. We don't just, as humans, communicate what's in the here and now. We are able to do way more than that. So in linguistics, we talk about human language as opposed to animal communication. Linguists will never really refer to animal systems, communication systems, as languages. They're always going to be communication systems because for all of their intelligence and savvy, animals are simply unable to do many of the things that we do.
Ah, they're communicating, but they're not necessarily using language. What are the differences between human language? So we've just defined what language is for us as it differs to communication. But what are those big differences between human language and animal communication? Because they are separate, and we know that language and communication is separate, but how do we separate those two things?
Yeah, so we've got four different fundamental differences, and these are displacement, complexity, creativity, and symbolism. So let's consider these in turn. So when we look at displacement, this very fancy word, all this means is we are able to use language, human beings are able to use language to refer to events that happened in the past, are happening in the present, and will take place in the future. We can discuss hypothetical situations. We can discuss completely abstract ideas. Animal communication systems can only ever really refer to the here and now or to very recent events. For example, a bee, and I love bees. I'm not sure about you, Pam, but I absolutely adore bees.
I do.
I'm obsessed with them. They can communicate through wagging their little tails, things like how far the source of pollen is from the hive. And they can do all sorts of dances as well to communicate further. But they are unable, bees are unable to also maybe tell their fellow bees about the beauty of the flowers from which they extracted the pollen. It's they are unable to do that. So there's just a very finite, a very small system of messages that bees are able to communicate. When we take dogs, for example, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners love dogs, and we've been checking out some super cute puppy videos on Instagram with my children lately. Now, dogs are super smart, but as philosopher Bertrand Russell once said, a dog cannot relate his autobiography. However eloquently he may bark, he can't tell you that his parents were poor but honest. He cannot.
Yeah, so as much as he may want to.
Exactly. No, it's not possible. So the second feature of language is complexity. And again, language, human language is made up of complex structures. Every community and region will have its own. That's why we have different dialects and languages.
Right.
Each language will have complex vocabulary and grammatical constructions. And we are able to do just so much with human language. We can tell stories. We can gossip. We can make stuff up. We can even explain what language is using language, which is what we're doing right now. And so it's just simply amazing.
Mm. There's a level of complexity beyond what communication as a function can allow. So that makes sense, definitely. I'd never thought of those two as being so separate or about why they might be different. So that's definitely really interesting. Now, there are animals like Coco the gorilla, or, you know, like those dogs that we talk about, people think that they can maybe understand their pets. But animals like Coco the gorilla have sometimes been argued that they use language, that they are able to communicate more sentient experiences. What about that? What about people who say that they can use language, animals that are maybe a little closer to the human brain?
Yeah, so when we take gorillas, for example, and we may take Coco the gorilla, who is taught American Sign Language by students at Stanford, this very lifelong commitment took a long time to actually teach Coco all of these signs, saw Coco learn more than 1,000 signs and comprehend around 2,000 signs, which is very impressive. But something that just simply does not align at all with human language is that we're already counting how many signs Coco the gorilla was able to learn. When we look at human language, and there are two other features of language which I still have to sort of talk about from a previous question, but we can kind of work them into here, into the answer to this question, which is that language, human language, is creative. So there is an absolute limitless number, infinite number of sentences and utterances that human beings can produce. There's theoretically endless numbers of things that people can say that have never actually been spoken or signed before. And this was not the case for Coco the gorilla. Coco the gorilla was extremely adept at using the vocabulary that she had been taught. And again, that is a limited system that she learned. The other issue is to do with whether this communication that was supposedly mastered by Coco was actually language. We now know it wasn't, because a lot of the times the communication was totally inconsistent and extremely rudimentary when it came to grammatical formation. Grammar basically is the structure of language. We talked about this a tiny bit before. And so once again, my final sort of feature of language that I was defining previously is that language is symbolic. So we've got all of this symbolic system to put things together that allows us to talk about reality. That's something that Coco did not have. The perennial question as well, when animals are taught so-called language, is whether the animal is just conditioned to give us what we want so that they can get that banana or whatever it is they're being fed, right?
Yeah.
Which is not the way that babies, human babies, all of us, when we were acquiring a mother tongue or mother tongues, that's not the way that we were taught language by being fed biscuits or bananas. You know, it's simply something that we do through being socialized and educated. So really highly questionable whether animals, including gorillas, who are much closer to humans than, say, bees, are able to use so-called language. The answer within linguistics is that no, they don't. They simply communicate.
It's interesting because it is functional for them, and despite teaching a part of, you know, human communication, a style like sign language, even then it still remains mostly just functional. It's not informed by, yeah, a feeling or an experience or an observation that doesn't have that sort of complicated element to it, which is interesting. Now, obviously, we're talking about that animals in the past and currently can't use language in the way that we define it for humans. But can animals maybe evolve to use language? Is there any sort of information or studies to think that maybe one day animals could evolve to use language like humans?
This is very highly unlikely because, as we were discussing today, language is complex and highly specialized. It is a cognitive ability, which means we need the right kind of brain to be able to process and compute those kinds of, you know, to do the things we do when we use language. We also need the right sort of mouths and throats and lungs, the right articulatory organs to be able to produce language. So in a hypothetical world, if animals other than humans were to be able to use language, it would take an extremely long time to manifest as a fully fledged language system.
So as much as we may hope, our pets at home aren't going to understand us as much as we want them to and talk back, that's not going to be happening anytime soon.
I don't think so. But, you know, pets do what they're meant to do, and then humans tend to make everything about themselves as well. So we sort of embed that communication with our own flavour of what maybe they are doing or saying, and that's wonderful too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the record today, Celeste, and joining us for Language Lab. You're a star as always. Now, if anyone wants to get in touch, they can, can't they, Celeste? We want to hear questions.
Absolutely. We want questions. We want comments and feedback. If you're listening to this, let us know what you would like to hear us talk about, and we'll get to work.
Yeah, give us an email, send us a text message, whatever you need to do. You can send us a text on 0405-921-921. Call into the studio, 9260-9210. I'll talk to you. I want to hear about your language questions, and we can set it up, pass it on to Celeste. So if you've got anything you want to know, get in touch. Thanks, Dr. Celeste.
You're very welcome.
That was Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro. A big thanks to University of WA. She's the star. She's a linguistics expert, and she joins us for Language Lab every week on the record. And a big thanks out to UWA intern Billy Pittman for her wonderful help producing another Language Lab. You are on RTR FM 92.1.